A very good morning to you, my dear listener. It is a Friday morning. So how are you? So how are you this morning? And how are you after the sauna? Well, I don't mean the sauna, the hospital sauna. sound like now. How are you after the sauna from the hospital? So I mean the state of the nation address. That's what I mean. So how are you feeling this morning? And I think we're gonna focus on that morning. So thanks for joining us. Welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station. My name is Michael Chiavelli, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. Whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together with you. So, but it's not just us. It's not just about us talking. It is about you. Share your thought, opinion, and perspective on the topic that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the story. So our time is 39 minutes past the hour of 7, and today is the 25th of April 2025. So let's see what happened on this day in Africa. So Mozambique joined the United Nations following its independence from Portuguese colonial rule in 1975. So Mozambique became a member of the United Nations on April 25th. So this event was a milestone in its journey towards international recognition and integration. So although centered in Portugal, although this event happened in Portugal, the Carnation Revolution on April 25th, 1974, had a profound impact on its African colonies. The overthrow of the Portuguese dictatorship paved the way for the independence of countries like Angola, Mozambique, and Guinea-Bissau. So on April 25th, 1986, Mswati III was crowned King of Swaziland, known as Eswatini. Today on April 25th is recognized as the Africa Union Anti-Malaria Day. So a campaign spearheaded by African nations to combat malaria. So this initiative began with the Abuja Declaration in 2000, leading to a concerted effort across the continent to fight this deadly disease. And today is the African Union Anti-Malaria Day. So it's so fitting that a country like ours, it's experiencing this disease quite heavily during this rain season as well. Maybe on this day, let's also do something that create awareness about malaria. So, on April 25, 2003, Winnie Mandela, a prominent figure in South Africa's anti-apartheid movement, was convicted of fraud and theft. So, those are some of significant events that happened in Africa on this day. So, what is our thought for the day on the 25th of April here on Unpacking the Day? So if it does not challenge you, it will not change you. So if it does not challenge you, it will not change you. So this proverb means that personal growth and transformation come from facing and overcoming difficulties or obstacles in life. So without challenges, there is no opportunity to learn, to adapt, or become stronger. So enduring hardship or pushing beyond your comfort zone is what lead to meaningful change and development in character, in skills, and also in terms of perspective. So in other words, comfort and ease do not actually foster growth. So only challenges have the power to truly change and improve you. So that's our thought of the day on the 25th of April, on Friday the 25th of April. If it does not challenge you, it will not change you. So hopefully that guides your day today. All right, our time, 43 minutes past 7. Stay tuned. When we come back, we get into our first item on the show. Stay tuned.
Omutiha with the Krokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She goes a fast and anana, longishifa, yai, she becomes she wana. E. Moyawa, or Tango got some money. Anna the Shifa, Yanamibia, on the Tom Banawa, Orangeka. Faith and Nina, Omeguro, Niranitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Okupitramo, Ekelefan Media House. Way 20 Meneha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki ni mopo yo mo programa de tu moambo dengera selma kodara heta kimu datunda tu heari jamano talo o niach Eagle FM the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
Yes, wherever you are, Eagle FM is with you and you can listen to us. That's right. All what you need to do, it's accessible anytime, anywhere. All you need to do is, all you need is actually your phone and you are instantly connected to the news, to your favorite shows, and so much, 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 much more features on Eagle FM app. So what you need to do is you just have to download Eagle FM mobile app and you are good to go. And definitely then you are good to go. Just do that and then you are really, really, really good to go. So, and if you want to stay in the know with the business, economic news and the latest political and policy development, like yesterday's, you know, Sona, you can grab your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, all you need to do also, quite simple, send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And if you are a business person, we are making it easier than ever to grow your business. Our complimentary apps like Imba and, as I said earlier, Eagle FM app, those are perfect for boosting your product and services to a wide range of customers. And don't forget our social media platforms. So they are some of the most active in the country, giving you the perfect space to elevate your brand or product visibility. So contact us at 083-288-400, 083-288-400, and do that just right now. So welcome back and good morning to you. If you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the day. Today we are reflecting. So we are reflecting on the key priorities. So I want us to focus today. I want us to focus on the key priorities laid out by President Dr. Netumbo Dempelila Nandi Daitwa in her maiden State of the Nation address yesterday. So, because those are the priority that we should be focusing on as a country. These are the directions that the country is focused. Delivered yesterday in Parliament. And this address was not just it wasn't just when you look at it, it's not just a ceremony, that happened every time. It was a roadmap. It's always like a roadmap, a vision of the next 5 years under her leadership. This is my vision. So that's why it was so important. Under the theme Unity in Diversity, Natural Resources Beneficiation, and Youth Empowerment for Sustainable Development. I think that speaks to the heart of our country's challenges, where the country is, and in terms of the challenges that we are facing, and also aspiration. Where do we want to go? So I think when you look at that, it's really looking at, it speaks to the heart of our country's challenge and aspiration. It is a signal. It signals a commitment to addressing, if you look at it, inequalities, unlocking economic opportunities, and also empowering our youth, which is the lifeblood of our nations, So I think this address marked the dawn now of the eighth administration, as you have heard quite often, that the eighth administration, so since independence. So, and with it comes the significant responsibility of building upon the previous achievement, while also implementing innovative strategies to address some of the long-standing challenges. Now, President Nandi Ndaitwa emphasized that Namibia is too few. Namibia is too few to be poor. What do you think about that? Namibia is too few to be poor. A powerful reminder of our shared potential. So she highlighted, the other thing she highlighted is unity as a cornerstone of her vision, calling on all Namibians to embrace diversity as a strength rather than a divide. So, but this is unpacking the day. So what do? We ask questions. That's what we do. So let us ask tough questions. How will this administration turn these ambitious promises into reality? And that's what everybody is asking, maybe not you. So that's what we do here. What systemic challenge must be overcome to be able actually to achieve these ambitious promises to make this a reality? So you remember we have who is this Mandume? Always that there is that those people who are in the system, the cockroaches. So how do we overcome those cockroaches to make this a reality? So, and how can we, as a citizen, hold her and the whole leadership and maybe ourselves accountable to make sure that these promises become a reality? Yes, and that's what we, so when you think from agriculture to housing, education to youth empowerment, this address laid out priorities that touch on every aspect of a Namibian life. Yet, as we all know, the road from promise to delivery is not often easy. It is full of challenge. So that many have gone through that road and have failed. So many have gone through that road. Promises were made. And, you know, when you get on the road, so, that called delivery, when you get on the road, that called delivery, it is not easy. So it's actually full of challenges. So this morning we will dive into the 7 key priorities and some of the 8 critical, economy enablers outline in the address. So we're going to look at those and we will explore what they mean for you and for me and how they fit into the broader context of Namibia's socioeconomic, landscape. So what do? Grab your coffee. It's cold in the morning. So grab your coffee, grab your tea and, let's get, started. All right. So the president, Nandi Ndaitwa, began with a bold assertion. And I really love that. And because it's really, as I said, it's a bold assertion. We are too few to be poor. We are too few to be poor. But it's a, that's the truth. And with this, she really underscored the belief that Namibia's, how would I put this? Namibia is relatively small. It has a small population, coupled with its abundant resources, and that provide a unique opportunity to eliminate poverty, and foster equitable prosperity. So we are too little. We are too few to be poor. We are only 3 million. Yesterday we talked about, I think this was also, we talked about, one caller talked about that, no, I'm making a comparison that, look, if we compare ourselves with Botswana, for example, we have more resources. Yeah, Botswana is the same thing. We have always, more or less the same population anyway. But think about, you know, the resources that we have compared to, not compared to Angola, probably Angola have oil, and we're going to have oil always. Probably we're going to be the same. So 38 million people. All right. Angola won't be the right. What a country that, let's talk about Burkina Faso as an example. I don't know how many populations, but it's actually, it's quite a lot. So a number of millions. So if you have more resources compared to that country, and that country is actually doing far better than you do, the person who have more resources than, you know? So what does this say about you? What does that say exactly about you? So I think she's right. We are too few to be poor. There is just something that we're not actually doing right. It's a time, recognizing that and see what changes we can make. So this sentiment, set the stage for her administration. I think it set the stage for administration's ambition agenda. So her agenda which now revolves around the 7 key priorities aimed at transforming the life of Namibians. So which are those 7 key priorities, and what do you think about these key priorities? As I said, these are actually things that that revolve around our everyday life: agriculture, sport, youth empowerment, quality. These are the 7 key priorities areas: agriculture, sport, youth empowerment, quality education and training, creative industries, quality health, social welfare, land, housing, and sanitation. Those are the 7 key priority areas that Nandi Ndaitwa are focusing on to transform the life of Namibian. So, and these are supported, and these would be supported now by 8 critical economic enablers, right? This is the priorities, and this would be now enabled by other 8 critical economic enablers: the mining, the energy, oil and gas, tourism, agriculture, water, fisheries, and transport and logistic. So these are the economic enablers that will be supporting the 7 key priorities. So, yeah, these areas touch on, as I said, when you look at those, these areas touch on nearly every facet of our daily lives. So what do we do? Let's now take a close look at some of the standout commitment that the president has made during her maiden State of the Nation address. A very good morning to you. If you are just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. And today we're just reflecting on some of the standout commitment, that were made by the president. So you're actually welcome. I would probably, this is our focus throughout the program. Yeah. So we look at some, as I said, we look at some of these 7 key priorities areas. So you're most welcome to come through and also just, if you want to actually comment on some of the things maybe that I will be looking at, or you were actually listening to the sonar yourself, and there are certain things that you would like to talk about, so you're most welcome to come through as well. So our telephone number is 0833-66091. You can come through already. And if there's specific something that you would like to talk about, or that struck you, or that make you unhappy, or you think that the president hasn't addressed, you know, area that you thought. So we're gonna come back after this.
Statistics show that more than 12,000 road accidents were recorded in Namibia last year. Therefore, I believe zero is the only acceptable number of accidents on our roads this Easter. It is not impossible. Be responsible, do the right thing, and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Need lightning fast internet? Baratas has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Baratas' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Baratas today. Visit us online at baratas.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Always attend Baratas.
Yes, a very good morning to you. If you just joining us at this time, our time is about 1 minute past the hour of 8, and you have joined us, and this is Unpacking the Day. We're looking today specifically. We're reflecting on the sonar, on the maiden State of the Nation address by President Netumbo Nandi Ndaitwa, and looking at some of the standout commitment that she made yesterday. So if there's anything, as I said, if you were listening, or maybe you get to read some information in the newspaper or whatever, so what have struck you? What has struck you? And are you disappointed, or are you proud of some of the decision that you have made and the directions you have taken? What is your thought on some of the things that she have committed to. Even if I haven't gone to that yet, you're most welcome to come through and maybe just comment on whatever you have heard or what you were listening to and what you felt that was maybe something the government, that was a good direction, that was or you have questions on certain things that she have said, especially question of how we are going to implement that. What are the challenges in implementing some of these commitments and some of these priorities? So yeah, come through anytime. At any time, so much welcome. Our telephone number again in Ndango studio is 081-2081-0833-06091. So anytime, you're most welcome to come through. All right. Let's dive into, a critical topic of, natural resources and economic transformations are one of the cornerstone priorities of President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah in one of her address, natural resources and economic transformations. So she emphasized a shift in focus, moving away from the long-standing, model. So since independence, that long-standing reliance on a raw material export, now she wants to shift in focus. Now she wants a shift in focus to move towards a model that prioritizes local value addition and beneficiation. So that's now her focus. So, and this is very significant. It's a very significant step for Namibia, resource dependent economy. This is very important. It's a very important shift. It's a significant step. Now we want to move away from that resource dependent economy. So where raw material like diamond, uranium, as we know, and other minerals have traditionally been exported in their unprocessed form, so leaving much of their potential economic value are really untapped. So I think that's a very good step. We are moving in in priority wise. Okay, so we still have to see that in terms of how that is translated into real difference. So the president identified critical minerals such as lithium, for example, cobalt, manganese, graphite, rare earth elements as key target for beneficiation. So Agricola, let's get to the caller. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Hello, Dr. Michael.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm all right, Michael.
Disappointed? Are your expectation met?
So much. Expectation is met.
Yeah.
Special of free education when it comes to education. We've been crying about it. And thank you for that.
Yeah.
Because some of us have been disappointed by this now stuff for so many years.
Yeah, no, I was actually jumping, when I heard that, because I was thinking.
Talk about me, my friend. I'm still having more joys. I need to pay the
I'm actually thinking I have a son who is in grade 12. who need to go to university next year. So, and I was thinking, you first of all, from the very beginning, you need to have some kind of 50,000 already for fees and all that.
I'm telling you.
So, that's a very good news. That's a very good move. Yeah.
I see a lot of people even they are commenting that, what about the people who are working in NASAF? My friend, NASAF was one of the ones. A company which is not a bad audit for some, they don't, when they come, they always a mismatch.
Yeah.
When they come to the audit. Because now, HLEs, we understand now that even a poor kid, poor man kid, security guard and cleaners, they can able to go to special education.
My friend, I'm going back for my doctorate now, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my friend, talk about me. Me, I was having two more today. Now I have to go back.
I'm going back for my doctorate.
We're all going back with it. What are you talking about, Nancy? No, no, no. Try to make it a conducive for Namibian. This is one of the priorities it is. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm supporting you 100%.
Yeah, no, we just have to find a way how to fund this, definitely. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah,
even if there are those, of course there are challenges, and definitely,
yeah.
So, but we just have to find a way. We just have to find a way, you know.
I'm telling you. And I feel it is a good to be even transparent when you give money from the land revenue straight to the university.
Yeah.
It will work because you, it will also require, I mean, it will tell you how many kids are spent a day.
Mm.
Because now we used to have a ghost students in Nassau.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be eliminated. No, I'm looking to, let me say maybe like a four sectors you talk about, which I need just also to highlight it a bit.
Yeah.
Agriculture, fishery, water, land reform.
Yeah.
These are most critical. When you are talking about even like agriculture, my friend, how many times I complain that, no, guys, we have even a timber which we have been cutting the timber to send it to Chinese. And those, they will come like a finished product because they have it to return to Namibia as a chair, a desk.
Yeah.
And now, where they are taking these timbers, like in Kavango and that side of Jambezi. You can see that most of the kids are even in that school, they don't have chairs.
Yeah.
They are killing their own chair to go to school, to attend school. Mm. And now we have a graduate from VTC, who done carpentry, looming around the streets.
Yeah.
This, I think she even talked about it yesterday.
And the beneficiation that she's talking about, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm.
And it is, really, I think we need to support it. Because I'm telling you, everything will come to support. There are people who are going to support it. And I'm sure, especially the one who have been, they've been sucked out.
Yeah.
They will come in different form.
Yeah, no, definitely.
The
other thing is that, you know, do we have, and this is a, well, the challenge are this, it's good and well, to have the priority and the vision you want to go into, but the question are three things. One is, do you have the resources to do that? Secondly, the other thing is, do you have the capacity to be able to do that? And the political, now, you may have the political will, but now your manpower, that you have already in the system, are they capable, and can they change the attitude that they have over the years?
All this is, it's where me also I want to come in, because now people need to be shifted. I'm telling you, we have people who have been in ministry for more than even.
Yeah, when they have to shift the ED, you know, if the person haven't performed, fire them. If you're in the private sector,
exactly.
If you're in the private sector and you're not actually reaching your target, you know,
you have to go.
You have to go.
Exactly. It can be the same.
Yeah.
In government, because we have people who are just there, but you can see the person is not doing anything. And they've been shifted from left to right, but you can see it's not even putting anything on the table.
Yeah.
This person needs to go.
Yeah, that oversight and monitoring, it's really, really, it needs to be strengthened within the public sector, yeah.
Very much. Mm. Because now I'm looking at with the director that we have, some directors, they bend even the agriculture for modern. But you can see this person is not capable.
Yeah.
He's not driving anything at all. Not even one car project, he can finish it. But the person is just as a salary collector.
Mm.
It's a hard time also we start. How can I put it down? Like, you know, the people who get promoted and some will be what shifted. How do I put it the word, man? Where you are, like, what happened to the Prime Minister?
Yeah.
What do you call that? Downgrade or what? Not downgrade the way, but there's a word in English.
When you were moved from
Let me say, like, you are then in a high position.
Yeah.
Now you become at a low position.
Yeah, degraded. You are degraded. You could say you are degraded.
Exactly. That is what also we are supposed to start with, what?
Yeah.
These directors. Because we have some directors, we are telling you, they are not performing.
Yeah.
But they are getting use of salaries.
Yeah.
But you can see that they are not doing anything. It's the same with a CEO when it comes to processes. It's what I'm saying. What is the use for I to pay the CEO of NAMPOWER? So much money, but they are not even come up with a sufficient project. We have a wind.
Yeah.
We have a sun. But up to now, you can see that they are borrowing money, but there's nothing.
Mm.
They are just increasing the what electric tariff for the suit for consumer. And the way the consumer going to get money if the salary is not improving.
Yeah.
This is a problem I think we are creating ourselves because we have people who are not really doing anything. Look up again at Transnamib. What is happening there? Nothing.
Exactly. Yeah.
But a person is still collecting his salary. Okay, I'm talking about the special. Okay, let us go back now. When it comes to land reform.
Yeah.
Land reform, yeah. This is one of the priorities, and I think we've been, with the way we've been handling it since the day of independence, it's not working for us as a Namibian.
Yeah.
Because we just have people who are just asking, like, what? 300 square meter.
Mm.
But municipality, they are unable to drive. I think it's a hard time to come up with a policy addressing this issue. Like now they are saying they are going to build a house, 10,000 house per year.
Yeah.
That is not going to solve any problem at all.
Definitely.
I'm telling you.
I mean, first of all, there are a lot of questions one can also have when it comes to that. You know, if you look at how many years from when a program, a housing program actually put in action, and how many houses have been built since then, what are you going to change to be able to build about 10,000 houses in a year?
No, it's not even going to solve any problem. 10,000 houses is nothing at all.
But first is nothing. The other thing is that it's impossible. You understand? It's impossible. Yeah.
Exactly. Then the way I'm looking at it is that we need to come up with a policy addressing this issue, like, give it people a title deed. I think when Nani asked that question, like, you know, there are people who are there in the Kabasu. We are talking about the police officer, nurse. You are talking about military person. They have money. They are having the government subsidies or whatever you call it. But there's no land for them.
Yeah.
What about you come up with a policy where you say, no, I'll give you a title deed. You build it by yourself. My friends, you can see a beautiful house. You might even found it upstairs.
Definitely.
In that area.
Yeah.
Because people are having money.
We have been.
And the material is not even that expensive the way it is.
No. We have the land. So much land to be able, for people to be able to have a piece of land of their own. So much.
I'm telling you. That is what is really putting Namibian people are not happy because now we are looking like what? Number what?
I think
we are number
I can
number
tell
three
you that
what?
The 3 million people can live. We can live in Windhoek. All of us.
Exactly.
The whole population of Namibia can live in Windhoek.
Very much.
Soweto in South Africa is about 6 million.
How big is Soweto? Look at Rwanda.
Yeah.
Rwanda with everybody that's mining in Africa.
Yeah.
How big is it? If it's any small, maybe the size of what? When anything is big.
Mm-hmm. And it's about eight to ten million
million people
in Rwanda. So,
just so imagine.
The whole country, as I said, we can be able to live, all of us, in Windhoek, you know?
Very much. And they were still living in several, look, even some kind of like European countries.
Yeah.
They are so small, like, if you go, look where they look at the population, they say, look at England. Let's compare with England.
Yeah.
How many, they're having something, people across the world? I think it's a billion or 1.7 billion.
I know that's a lot, yeah. So
it's a lot. Then you look how big is England? It's a very small place. Like maybe you put it like what colors living in the hard up together.
Yeah.
Very small, but we are having a big land here in Namibia. But we are crying for it for more than 35 years, and now you are telling us 10,000 housing. No man, it's not going to solve any problem at all. What you need to give people title deed, then you, as a municipality, you say no for me to give you services until when you build your house, I'll give you the service which you need, electricity and water.
Yeah.
My friend.
I can tell, even those people in informal settlement, I tell you, if you take them and said, look, let's actually service this place, they will work for nothing.
Nothing.
To service their own areas.
And, I'm telling you.
And that's not going to take long. So.
Do you know where even the people when they find it like it's the way that area it was? Sometimes it's very sloppy and the person have to pay what? The tractor to come and make it a what? Level.
Mm.
And later on you'll find the municipality come to chase you, but you, how much did you invest in that?
Yeah.
To do that. That's the problem I think we have also when it comes to municipality. And the municipality, it become what one of the colonial era. It's like what decolonizing us as a Namibian. Because you can't tell me when for
the system is like this, you know. Mm. Municipality is not like it's part of us. It's like when you go to the bank and they will tell you no, the system is not doing it's not what they can tell you. It's a system, we cannot be able to help you because the system is what now you cannot. Yeah. But this is you. It's your system. So it's kind of like it's working separate from them. It's something completely, you know, unique on its own. And that's how municipalities, you know, dealing with, it's working with that. It's not like, you know, you're part of the whole.
Yeah, it's only part of us.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's really a problem. And we need to come and fix that thing. Because otherwise, no. Most of Namibia are depressed because I'm telling you, a person want to get married, but you are wondering where I'm going to put my wife.
Yeah, I mean, you're just thinking of your own children. Where after?
Exactly. First of all,
if I'm gone, where you leave them?
Where do I leave them?
You leave them with nothing, absolutely nothing.
I'm telling you, and they will be like, oh, that used to work. What happened to why you can never buy a house?
And you won't even rest in your grave because.
Oh, you will not rest, my friend. That's why you see people are depressed. Even you go to memorial, a person is depressed in what? In the coffin. But you're supposed to rest in
peace.
Yeah. This is really.
You're not going to rest in peace. Definitely not.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
It's an issue, really.
Yeah.
But also, when it comes to fishery, my friend, fishery, we need to do something. And I think she talk about like what our money to stand alone. We've been advocating it. And I'm sure if we attach our money to fish, because this is our natural resource. And most people, they need our natural resource. Like UK, they buy fish here. You talk about American, you talk about Spain. So many.
Mm.
And they just making if they have to change that to Namibian dollars. Do you know how much a dollar going to crumble to be above even South African and then the fuller, which we are having here? It is just about our willing.
Yeah.
If you are willing, seriously, I'm telling you, this thing doesn't require a lot of economical, you start economic or whatever. No. You can see it with your eyes that you know. If I attach my money here, do you think people are not going to need our fish again? They're obviously going to be demanded the way it is.
Yeah.
And now, that we will exchange even the foreign currency. My friends, our dollar to cramp the South African rand.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense. We are saying we are, the rand is equal to Namibian dollar, but only Namibia. When you go to Africa, they don't even think about even like you take out money. It's like, what is that?
Mm.
Yeah.
You never know, because of our own unique economy,
yeah.
we might, our dollar might be stronger than the rand and the pula and all that. Yeah.
I'm telling you, only that we are too much attached to South Africa, and now it's kind of like an abusing relationship, abusing boyfriend. But we are just following. Instead of us to be focused on to be independent, it's like, no, I know you are my boyfriend, but me, I'm also going to study. Just want to become also, and then to be competitor. So when you are driving out your car, me, I'm also driving to come my car out, decide.
Yeah.
But we are just there. This guy is letting you left and right. But you are just accepting that, you know, it's my boyfriend. But no, come on. The world is open to everybody where you can look outside. Just to think about it out of the box.
Mm.
But seriously, I'm telling you, my brother, we cannot really, every time we are giving our natural resource, even like our cattle, we have to go to South Africa. They go.
On
and
hoof.
When they will come like a sausage and beef.
Yeah,
and then we have to pay the expenses.
Mm.
No, we need to start doing it at home. We're supposed to have our factory here producing those sausage and everything.
Yeah.
And we can even export them to South Africa because they need us.
Yeah.
They need us as much as we need them, they also need us. And I don't know why we cannot really operate with Angola. I don't know who really make up even the rules for us to join SACU, but SACU is really kind of like not really helping us in more much needed. Because we get only a couple of more percent which we are getting, but really, no, I don't think it's really working for us.
Yeah.
That is just a South African way to colonize us.
With SACU, what you put in is what you get out. Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. That's what we are getting.
Yeah.
I'm serious. We need to look outside to somewhere else.
Yeah.
Let me end up doing my boss. So
thank you for
coming
through. Thank you for coming through.
All right, thank you.
For your contribution as well, yeah.
Okay, thank you, my brother.
All right. Yeah, today we're looking at the SONA. We reflect on the priorities there. The president have focus on. Come through. Our telephone number is 08-333-66091. 08-333-66091. You were trying and you stopped. All right. Do try again. 08-333-66091. Eager FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Hi, Mr. Chevelli, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good, good.
Mm.
I don't know how much airtime do I have.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yep. but looking at the SONA,
yeah.
I think Mekulu has a spirit that we love.
Yeah.
Has a spirit that we concur with, and I love her tone, and I love the fact that she's trying to deal with things that at the heart of the people.
In a realistic way, yeah.
In a realistic way.
Mm.
And that's what we appreciate.
Yeah.
The best thing that you can actually do to calm people down is by appealing to their needs. And what she's doing, she's appealing to the people's needs.
Yeah.
The issue of education that Mandume talked about, which are the famous fall situation. Making a job by alerting to the job that you've been asking for it as the youth.
Hmm. Okay, you said you may not have enough credit. All right, that happens. All right, you can come through and have your reflection on the SONA. So the telephone number is 08-333-66091, and we're reflecting on the priorities highlighted in the maiden state of the nation address by Her Excellency President Netumbo Ndempelela
Nandi Ndaitwa. So we were looking at the natural resources and economic transformation, one of the cornerstone priorities of President Netumbo, Netumbo's address. So what the president identified, so we're talking about identify critical mineral also such as lithium, cobalt, manganese, graphite, and rare earth elements as the key target for, she mentioned this as the key target of beneficiation. And when you look at these resources, they are not only valuable for financial contributions, but also integral to industries like maybe renewable energy, some of them battery manufacturing, advanced technologies, especially in today's global markets. These are very, very, very important resources for a value addition and beneficiation, as she rightly actually pointed them. So it's time that we really get much out of what we have. All right, and to make an example, one standout example she mentioned is the plan to scale up investment in marble processing. Namibia produced some of the finest marble in the world, yet most of it is exported as a raw slabs. So with little local processing or value retention. So yeah, by enhancing now local processing capabilities, the government aims to that's how then you create jobs. That's how you support small businesses, and that's how you then stimulate a broader economic activity within the country. Yeah, so yeah, it's all good. Another ambitious plan is the establishment of the Namibia First Oil Refinery. This project signal a major step in the country's push to capitalize on its oil and gas reserves, so which are project to transform the economy over the next 5 years. We come back after this commercial break.
Step right up to ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival, where the deals are big and the savings are even bigger. Get show-stopping deals like 4kg Real Good Frozen Mixed Chicken Portions for only $199.99. That's a big deal. And 10kg Top Score Super Maize Meal for a low $124.99. Valid until 4 May 2025. Don't miss out on these unbelievable savings and more at the Big Low Price Carnival, only at ShopRite. Plus, stand to win one of 220 trolley dashes. Simply buy any three participating products and stand to win with ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival. Competition ends 8 June. T's and C's apply.
All right, welcome back. And so we're talking about those ambitious plan. One of that of establishing Namibia's first oil refinery. It's the president by this initiative under the president, placing this under the president, the presidency, and she mentioned this herself, it's really underscored the administration's commitment to ensuring that the benefit of this sector, the oil and gas, are maximized for Namibians. So the refinery will not only enhance energy security, but also, as we said, it's a way to create also a range of jobs across the supply chain, from exploration to actually processing. So yeah, it's all good. That's one area. So, but As I said, this is unpacking the question. This is unpacking the day. So there are also challenges lies, you know, ahead, you know, if you like. So Namibia shifting now from shifting to local value addition, it requires a significant investment in infrastructure, because we don't have this infrastructure. So we need a lot of investment in infrastructure. We need a lot of investment in skill development. So we need a lot of investment in technological expertise, you know. And the other thing is also it demands some kind of framework, regulatory framework, to ensure that these industries operate transparently. They operate equitably, you know. So there's so much to be done, and even the president acknowledged the need for complementary initiatives, such as building a desalination plant in the Erongo region to ensure sufficient water supply. You need those are support. There's a lot that need to be done. So that's also then you ensure that efficient water supply for these industries. So, and beginning discussion around integrating uranium into the national energy mix. So it's massive. All right. When you go into, you know, statement, these priorities are just on the surface, but when you go in too deeper, you realize that that's a lot that need to be done. One cannot say, well, that cannot be done. Well, others have done it. Why not? It may take time, and we need to be patient about it, but if we can see the direction and we can see, you know, that we're moving, slowly by slowly, but surely, then it's something one can be able to be patient about. And also to where you can see that there is a direction, and then it may not benefit me now, but I can see that there is a direction that we are going, and slowly by slowly it taking shape. So yeah. But a vision like this, it really marks an exciting transformation, but it also raises important questions. So do we have the necessary infrastructure and expertise to deliver on these plans? Those are legitimate questions. How will the government ensure that the economic benefits are distributed equitably across all Namibians? Because that's the biggest issue we have in this country. Equal distribution, unequal distribution of wealth. So, and what safeguard will be put in place to prevent resource mismanagement, to prevent corruption? So, and these are really questions that we as citizens must start asking also. We need to open our eyes. The reasons why we also, you know, now reflecting on this is for you now to see what are the commitments that the government has made and how do we hold them accountable for this promise. Gone are the days when we just, you know, told this is what we're going to do. 5 years comes, nothing happened. And we go to the polls again and we put the same people again into, if we put them in power, we are the bosses. They have to account to us. And it's a time that we, you know, make sure that they account to us. As citizen, we need changes. And from this, at the beginning of this, you know, we see that the priorities are right. But then how do we then implement these priorities? That's the question. And that's the big million-dollar questions. Now, another critical area highlighted in President Nandi Ndaitwah's address is agriculture, which Mandume also talked about. Is agriculture a sector central to both our economic stability and definitely the well-being of Namibian people? So in her speech, the president quoted founding president Sam Nujoma, reminding us, a nation that cannot feed itself will never be respected. You know, so we will get to that. Let me go to the caller and see what she or he has to say. Very good morning to you. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, are you back?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah.
Were you here before? I thought that, it was not you. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. So good morning. Welcome, man.
Yeah.
All right. So the sauna, anything that impressed you or get you sad or frustrated, you know, same old, huh?
Yeah. Let me just switch off my update to a background quickly.
Okay, you're welcome. Yeah. All right, so, the nation that cannot feed itself will not be respected. Are you back? Yeah, that she quoted president. All right,
yeah.
Are you back? Mm.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Was good speech.
Yeah.
Good, promising. But one thing is, like, we've been there.
Yeah.
You know, we have had projects, we have had dreams, we have had promises like, no, SAC should be gone in 5 years, but the SAC is still increasing.
Yeah.
So, everything is good, but my thing is now, the money part, the funding, where will the money come from?
Mm.
Because we, in this country, politicians always complain about, no, we don't have enough money to do this. Now, all these big projects,
yeah.
Where will the funding come? Or is it like we want foreign investors to come and invest in these industries, or is it us, the local Namibians, or is it the government that is gonna?
Yeah, I think the idea, her idea, when she said you have these are priorities, and then you have the what she referred to as the critical economic enablers, so the mining, energy, oil and gas, tourism, whatever is that thing, agriculture, water, fisheries, all that, that's where the money should come from.
But we don't own nothing.
Yeah.
Is it like we're going to increase corporate tax on them, or how are we going to operate?
Well, the nitty-gritty that hasn't come out of that speech, but, you know, but ideally, as you're saying, this critical economic enabler, they are the one now that will be able to fund what we're talking about in terms of sport that we want to be, stadium that we want to build, youth empowerment projects that we want. So these are the economic enablers. Yeah.
No, it's good that she has highlighted this economic enablers. But one thing you should remember is before money comes, you have to put money in.
Exactly. Yeah.
You see, so now we haven't put any money in, because I hear it, because I didn't listen hopefully, but I hear it like what Swarpe was saying, no, because now you want to increase corporate tax on these foreign investors that will not come.
Mm.
So now, that's a question I'm asking, is it foreign investment through tax, corporate tax that can fund these projects, or is it us that can fund these projects? Because it's very good that we have these nice dreams that we are dreaming, but I think money will be the biggest problem.
Exactly.
Because now if we say foreign investment, we want foreign investments to come and invest in these critical industries. Now, for instance, the only thing that government is going to promote is job creation. They're going to say, no, we have created jobs. No, they're going to pay tax to government.
Mm.
But half of that money is leaving the country. So it's just going to be the same old story. Because one thing about mining is mining has a lifespan. You know, you can invest so much and say no mining, but these things have a lifespan and ups and downs.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe we should look at critical industries that will be there forever. You know, like tourism, agriculture, these are industries for me. No matter what, you don't have a lifespan. As long as humans are here, they will always explore these industries.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good that we are talking about this mining and these industries that we want to talk. But I think the biggest issue is funding. If we don't put money in, we don't get enough money back. It's very simple. So now where we all have these dreams, these aspirations, now we, let me touch the housing issue. For instance, we haven't done of mass housing. There are empty houses standing around. Nobody's living in these houses.
Yeah.
We want to build another 50,000 houses again in 5 years.
In 5 years, yeah.
Now.
And in how many years we probably have built not even 10,000.
And if you look at the record of City of Windhoek, how many houses they service per year?
Exactly. That's what I said. For many years, maybe 10, 15 years, we haven't even built 10,000.
So now it's these dreams. Now for me, if you are a tenderpreneur, if you are a business person, maybe it's a good news for you because construction industry is coming back. The tenders will be out. But are we going to complete these houses? I think my first thing was maybe to complete mass housing to make sure that those houses that were built in previous government, maybe people occupy those houses. Yeah. Then we start and see, okay, fine, where do we go from here? Now, those houses are still not occupied. Some are not even finished. Some houses are demolished in some cities. Now you want to start a new
house. The other issue is not just actually building houses, but can the people actually afford the houses?
That's also one thing. Because there are some instances where some houses were very small and expensive and people rejected them.
Exactly.
You see, so maybe you need to also to cater for where. I think the problem is, where is this housing bedlock? Is it in the upper income people, or is it the middle class people, or is it these lower people? Where does this problem lie? You see, so that we target, because now mass houses are these extravaganza houses where you, these modern fencing, modernized houses. You know, I look at building booth. I was in Korea, the building together houses, single brick houses, simple four room houses. Not even 100,000. Very simple. I think those type of housing could have fit majority of Namibians. But if you look at mass housing, not a lot of people afford.
Exactly. Yeah.
You see. So I think it's good dreams that we have. I think, but we just have to put our priorities. Who are we targeting the most? Where is the bedlock? Who are the people that are not affording these expensive housings, for instance?
Mm.
You see. It's very hard to get 3,000 or 4,000, 400 or 300,000 plus house in mass housing. It's up 500 and up, you see.
The majority of people that you want to build houses have no job. They have no work.
Yeah, we don't. Yes.
Yeah.
So if my salary is 5,000 or even 10,000, even 10,000, it's struggling to be approved by a bank to get a house.
Exactly, and that's the issue that we were talking about, I think, last week or so, where if you have your salary is actually 10,000, you are not actually qualified for the other, what is the set dwellers and build together.
And set dweller is saying your salary is high again.
Yeah, exactly. And then
now even the bank, that's a quick, you don't that's qualify. The
commercial for, coming up, just hold on, and then we can continue quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Mula when you need it.
Easy money.
Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
All right. Yeah. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Mm.
So that's the issue that we have. I think in terms of high costing houses, I think private sector can cater for those people. But I think if government really wants to improve the situation of housing, they should target this 10,000 to 5,000, that area. Then we are talking. Then I think majority of people will be able to afford housing.
Yeah.
But if we also know private sector is building expensive houses, you have mass housing that is now building expensive houses. Now how? Who are you targeting as government?
Mm-hmm.
What is your priority as government? You see? Because those rich people can afford their private housing sector there, but government should prioritize this group, this middle class to down there. They should target that and build affordable houses. Affordable houses, not 500,000, at least 300,000, 200,000 there.
Exactly.
People can, at least 10 people can really say, no, we have really achieved a dream. You see? Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, but otherwise, how do you feel about it? So you think that there's a blueprint, you know, and a roadmap? Yeah.
it's there, you know. Mm. I think it's there, and like now, I just want to see action. I think we have heard so much speeches, so much good things of this. Now I just want to see action from now on. I want to see at least two, three houses being built daily, or one or two things are happening every day. That is what I want to see now.
And you know the funny thing, when especially they're looking at what the government is, because it's the state, it's the state of the nation. Yeah. So when sometime looking at what the government has done, they never actually indicate what were the target.
how many was reached, how many percentage maybe they didn't reach.
Exactly. So for us to be able now to say, yes, we actually have moved, or we actually regress, or we haven't done anything. So, and that's very important now for us to know in detail what are the targets of any projects, you know, so that we can be able to say, no, you haven't actually done what you say you're going to do, you know?
Yeah, it's accountability now. We need to account and see and take these people for what they promise us. You see, because the hospitals has been promised, things have been promised. You know, Chivarongo, there is just a fencing, a yard. In 2015, that thing was promised in 2015. Look at, we are in 2025. Nothing has been built.
Mm.
So every time you just, you know, the money issue, because after COVID, everything was blamed. No COVID, drought, we couldn't do anything. You see, people are blaming drought. It's fine. But agriculture has not produced enough to a national budget. Now, when drought comes, you're saying, no, we can't do anything because we have drought.
But that's something we know now. Every year, if it's not drought, it's flood. You know, it's something that you expect that next year, we will either have drought or we will have actually flood. Yeah. It's a known fact. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
So we don't want to hear excuses anymore.
Exactly. Yeah,
we want to see action now. I think the MMA has speak. It's fine. It's good speech, but I don't want to judge on his speech. I want to judge on action. From 12 months from now, we want to see something happening.
Yeah.
That's all I want to see. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you for coming through.
Mm.
All right. Yeah, we want to see action, and the reasons why we are going through this again for you, to tease out what the commitments are. So, what are the commitments, and for you to be able to know exactly what to ask and what to hold someone accountable to, because you know exactly. So that's the whole idea. So, yeah. So I was talking about that the president quoted the founding president when it comes to agriculture. The founding president, Sam Nujoma, reminding us a nation that cannot feed itself will never be respected, which is actually true, you know. So, and these words underscore the urgency of transforming Namibia's agricultural sector into a cornerstone of self-sufficiency and national pride. We should be a nation that are actually able to feed ourselves. So the president administration has set an ambitious goal, and this is really an ambitious goal, and to reduce Namibia's agricultural imports, you know, to reduce it by 80%. So we import a lot. And I think this is a really bold target for a country that has long depended on importing staple food like grains and vegetables. It's a very bold target. Good. But is it realistic? Okay, that's the question. So achieving this will require a multifaceted approach, starting with significant financial investment. The previous caller talked about money. Money would be a major challenge. Investment, financial investment, that would be required. Whether you can now focus on a domestic investors or foreign investors, that we will need, you know. And you will need really
visionary individual within the ministries especially the EDs, to be able to achieve some of this, okay, and the ministers themselves. So the government plans to inject 561 million into agriculture infrastructure during the current financial year. So 561 million. So when you don't understand what the scale of the input that is required to be effective, to be now be able to produce to the level that you want, as an individual, when I read 561 million injected into the agricultural infrastructure, it doesn't give me, I don't know whether to celebrate or to whatever, or to cry, because I don't know. As I said, when it comes now to what kind of input you need for you now to be able to achieve what you want, what your target is, it's very difficult unless you know that. So you can't say that's a lot of money, because and you can't say that less money. But definitely, from face value, that is not enough. All right. So, and this investment will then revitalize, as we hear, revitalize. I don't know. So, the green scheme, a program aimed at improving food production through irrigation project, particularly in the region with higher agricultural potential, and also a focus on agro-processing. So, which then, this is the idea, which involves adding value to raw agricultural products within Namibia. So maybe turning maize into a flour, or processing fruits into juice. But those are well and good, but do we have already on a large scale, you know, a farm of fruits? Maybe grapes, for example, grape farms. Do we have any other, you know, dates? Also dates farms, maybe. And what else? We have blueberry, some of those. So the whole idea then is also focusing on agro-processing, which then means that add value to our raw agricultural products, turning, you know, all this into a final product that add value to our agricultural product. So these initiatives are expected now. I think when you're adding value, you're expected now to create jobs, you support rural development, and also reduce the country's dependence on imported food. So, this vision, it does not come. Remember, it doesn't come without its challenges. All this vision and these priorities, they don't come without without their own challenges. So Namibia's agriculture is highly vulnerable. The caller was just talking. It's highly vulnerable to drought, to flood, to climate change. So those who are in the know, this persistent threat have already caused a significant disruption to crop production or crop yield, and also livestock farming in recent years. So we have experienced this in these recent years. So to overcome now this, the government must invest in as some would refer to as a climate resistant agricultural practices, such as drought tolerant crop. Crop that are tolerant to drought, water efficient irrigation system, and also sustainable land management techniques. So, and as I said, that require people who are in the know-how and also massive investment from the government. So, yeah, my dear listeners, this is where you also come in terms of maybe you're a farmer. We want to hear from you as a farmer. What are the biggest challenges you face on the ground? And is it access to water? Is it access to seed? Is it markets? Is it financial support? So, farmers, so what are you saying? You know, you have had the president. Are you excited? Or there are some hurdles that still need to be addressed. So, and what specific policies maybe or programs would make the biggest difference in your ability to grow your business and thrive? And the president has, I think, in terms of this, it's all well and good. The president have planted the seed of a promising vision for agriculture. If you're looking at this, one of these priority, and now it's up to all of us to ensure they grow, to ensure that this grow into a sustainable and resilient some kind of a future. So, what are your thoughts on this ambition plan? So, come through and have your say. Our telephone number again is 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So when we come back, we're also going to look at other priorities the president have focused on. Stay tuned.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Selfwar Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Welcome back. And if you're just joining us, good morning to you, my dear listener. And you are tuned in to Unpacking the Day. Today we are reflecting on the maiden state of the nation address that our president made yesterday in the parliament. Yeah, and we're looking at the priorities that she focus on, which are like the roadmap of where this administration wants to go. Yeah. So let's look at now. Let's look at the sport, onto sport and youth empowerment. Sport, as you know, is not just a recreation. It is also, it is a growing global industry, which also the president referred to, and Namibia wants now a piece of that pie, you know? So Namibia want to have that piece of pie. It's not like when we grow up, it's kind of like, hey, you're wasting your time, man, you know, playing soccer or whatever your sport that you are in. It's, come, go and look after the cow and kettles, go and look after the cattle and goats. Otherwise, what are you doing? You see? Now, so the president, he sees that is not just about recreation. It is a growing global industry. So let's talk about two deeply intertwined priorities. That's exactly sport and youth, and empowerment. And these areas are not just about, you know, you cannot just look at them in isolation, as I said, as a recreation or isolated initiatives. They represent a critical opportunities now, especially in today's world, to transform lives, to foster economic growth, and also unleash, you know, the potential of Namibian youth. So first, let's start with the sport, often seen as just a form of entertainment or a leisure activities. So the global sport industry is, in fact, a multi-billion-dollar economic powerhouse these days. So Namibian government now is now actually looking to tap into this potential, viewing sport as an avenue for job creation, and youth development and community empowerment. So the president, Nandi Ndaitwa administration, has announced plans to construct six new Category 2 stadium, each with a capacity of 10,000 seats, in regions such as Omthia, Mariental, in regions such as I'm just actually copying from her. Her speech. I'm reading 10,000 seat in a region such as Omthia. So Omthia, Mariental, that's how it's written. I'm just looking at now the things. Katima Mulilo, in towns maybe, in towns like Omthia, Mariental, Kiet Mansrup, Mariental and Katima Mulilo. And additionally, seven larger category 3 stadium seating of 30,000 people, and it will be constructed and renovated in key towns. Yeah, that's more like it, in key towns including Oshakati, Rundu, and Windhoek. And beyond those project, 200 million has been allocated to develop basic sport facilities in constituencies. So quite, yeah, and that's like the previous caller said, we want to see the implementation, and well, these are all planned. We now want to see an implementation of this, of this project. So the president's vision for sport extends beyond facilities. So she envisioned a professionalized sport sector that includes now talent management, research and development, and targeted investment promotion. So it's not just about, you know, sport, but also she it's not just about facilities. She envisioned a professionalized sport sector. So and this is not just about creating opportunity for athletes, it's about now developing industries around sports, from marketing and media to infrastructure, maintenance, and international event hosting. So that's the whole idea. So which is a very good how would I say it? Yeah. My vision, if you like, because it's a vision. And I think we need to support that, because as I said, as long as we see that there is a blueprint, there is this vision. So now the question is, And this now goes to the ministers. It goes now to ED. It goes now to the staff. How do we put this in practice? How do we make this a reality? So that's now the challenge. And it's also a challenge for you and me, to put this actually in practice. And I'm trying to do my, my work here already. Okay? So it's to inform you. All right? So, but sport is only one side of a coin, you know? Youth empowerment is the other. So, yeah, let's quickly get to the caller and see what he or she has to say.
Very good morning to you.
Mr. Chavelli.
Yes, Minier.
Yeah.
How are you, man?
Good, good.
Yeah.
Regarding the sauna.
Yeah.
On the educational part, I think the Menetumbo, she's actually done well.
Yeah.
I think it's about high time. But then I think, it also helped the students a lot. In so many areas that I think they understand that it's helping them a lot. But also if you look at the situation where you have, students that enter into relationship with particular people, and then after graduation, and then you have this fallout with these two people that actually came together and actually they had an agreement of relationship. But when the other one actually graduates and the other one does not want to continue with the relationship anymore, because because levels have changed of economy as well. So I think this situation, I think her lowering the government subsidizing, it also deals with that particular situation as well.
Mm.
So you don't have students that are getting into relationship just for them to be maintained at the end of the day. But I think when she makes it free, I think I think then as families, then we can basically take care of the rest of those basic needs.
For now, she said for now.
she said for now, yes.
Mm.
So she's actually dealing with a critical issue as well.
Yeah.
Where we have a lot of relationships analyzing and suicide. When it comes to land, Nubasen also mentioned that before we can actually start building new houses, let's deal with the ones that are available, the ones that we already built that through the mass housing. Because it does not help that you start with a project or new project while you have another one hanging.
Mm.
I think being a new president does not mean that you need to continue with a certain agenda that were left unfinished by your predecessor.
Yeah.
So we need those houses finished at Ochomise, and then we need people to occupy those houses. Then we can look at building new houses.
Yeah.
But what people want in Windhoek, people do not want you to build houses for them because your budget will be depleted.
Yeah.
And and we understand how much corruption is there involved when it comes to housing projects. And then because we don't want another situation where a president point a finger at Ilulu while the minister of urban development is just standing next to him at the end of the day. So we want, what she should rather do, give land to people.
Yeah.
Right? If you give land to the people, people will be able to develop their own land. And if you go to this informal settlement, how many people are unemployed at the end of the day?
Mm.
So all these people will be able to start now servicing their own land, clearing the land, make sure that the land is proper. Because if you give me the land, And you give me the title deed to the land, obviously now I have ownership and I have more energy and eagerness to make sure that my land is developed.
It's developed,
Because if you look at the amount, the value of cars that you find in this informal settlement versus the place where they stay in, a person can actually afford a car because the car is easy for you to acquire it compared to the land.
Mm.
So give people the land, and then what happens is this, those people will start employing their own brothers from all these vocational training centers who are unemployed.
Yeah.
Your builders, your carpenters, your electrical electricianist, your plumbers. Those people will be able to get a job from their local people without there being a middleman situation which we have with the house developers.
With developers, yeah.
With developers. So the money goes straight to people that intended to get that money. Yeah. So at the end of the day, they are not being ripped off because that agreement is between you and the builder. and the one that is building. All that municipality or government can do, it's your major connecting points, such as your sewer pipes, your electrical grids.
Mm.
Certain land maybe needs. We already accepted the land the way it is, so we don't need people to break down certain mountains, or because those are the things that also exorbitate what the cost of what of land in, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I think this is how you deal with this situation as well.
Yeah.
And there's a tendency also people saying that, look, if you give young people the land, what would they do with it? To tell the truth, once you give young people the land, you also give them responsibility.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you say, no, they're always just in bars drinking. Look, if you give a person land, you give them responsibility, and their patterns of thinking will begin to change. Because instead of me spending money on a beer, you start calculating how many bricks are there in one beer.
Mm.
So the patterns of thinking will begin to change, that I think I should prioritize my money for bricks now, because now I have land. So at the end of the day, instead of them spending more time in beers, we have people that are in bars. We have less people spending time in bars, because now after work, this particular person will be working on their plots.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, now, and which also deal with the issue of gender-based violence.
Mm.
Now, instead of these young people being in their kambashus and cohabiting with their women, that they are making babies with, and not making any plans to marry. These young people will now begin to make plans to get married, because now they have a place where they can shelter their children.
Yeah.
And if you can give a man that pride, then obviously will also act accordingly.
Mm.
And if he has a place where he can shelter his children, then obviously, if he start making moves towards marriage and has a place where he can shelter his children, obviously the girl that he is cohabitating with will also beginning to change her attitude towards him and start respecting him. Because if you look at this issue of gender-based violence,
yeah,
it just has to do with the issue of when the respect is lacking between the two people, because your woman is not basically going to respect you,
yeah,
when you're basically not making any moves
Exactly. And I think the very important point you're making is that quite often we focus on commercial land in terms of farms, you know. We never really talk much about urban land, you know.
Exactly.
And I think it's really about time to focus more on an urban land, because the focus has been, the attention has been on the commercial farmers and the white, you know, owning more land than the blacks and things like that. But it's about now urban land and how we can access land to build houses, to build people where we can live, you know. Yeah.
Because if you understand...
A quick one, eh? There's a commercial quickly, and then you can round up, okay?
Okay.
Right up to ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival, where the deals are big and the savings are even bigger. Get show-stopping deals like 100 Joko Strong Quality Tea Bags for only $52.99 per pack. That's a big deal. And 5 kg Marathon Brown Sugar for a low $89.99. Valid until 4 May 2025. Don't miss out on these unbelievable savings and more at the Big Low Price Carnival, only at ShopRite. Plus, stand to win one of 220 trolley dashes. Simply buy any three participating products and stand to win with ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival. Competition ends 8 June. T's and C's apply.
All right, we can go ahead, yeah.
Just wrapping up, I think we must also understand that pressure group, which turned into political parties such as affirmative repositioning,
yeah,
was basically created because they understand that the biggest burning issue at that time was the land issue.
Mm.
So if you give people that particular land, to tell the truth, we know our way to build it, and poop with its mega build.
Yeah.
We know our way there. Just give us the land. We know how to get everything else in place. So I think let her rather take that advice. Focus on the main thing, because if you try to build houses, she will not manage, and the time will also not be on her side as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
So give people the land. And I think they said there are people, so some of the people are already poking hole in Asona, especially when it comes to some of these things that she promised. I think she's well advised.
Yeah.
She's been in government for too long, long enough for her to be well versed.
Yeah.
And I think we just need to make sure that we are able to maintain the promises with our resources at the end of the day.
Yeah. Mm.
So that these things can actually be realistic at the end of the day.
Exactly.
And for us not to come back and say that you said this, but you are unable to fulfill it.
Mm.
Mr. Osheveli, I'm sorry, somebody is calling.
All right. No, thanks for coming through and your contribution as well.
All right.
Yeah. So one had to be really realistic and I said, as he said, you know, she has been in the government for long enough to understand the challenges. And so let's give it time. Let's give it a time and to see how does this, you know, eventually, you know, translate into. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, no, we were talking about the other things that came out, is the youth empowerment. Arguably, the more urgent one, this one. So with youth unemployment sitting at alarming 44%, the administration has elevated youth empowerment as a cornerstone of its agenda. So this has become like the cornerstone of its agenda. So a consolidated youth fund seeded with 257 million will now provide targeted support for youth-owned businesses, helping young entrepreneurs access the resources and mentorship they need to succeed. So, in addition, the government will also strengthen the SME financing strategy, expand the credit guarantee scheme, and also roll out the National Youth Internship and Apprenticeship Program. So all those as she mentioned during her address. Now, these initiatives are aimed at addressing some of the structural barriers young people have faced previously. Such as lack of access to startup capital, insufficient business skills, and limited work experience. So the whole idea is really to address some of these challenges that the SME have experienced over the years. So yeah, and as you said, these plans are sound promising. While these plans are sound promising, they come with significant questions. You know, will investment, and everybody's is asking that, will investment in sport, a youth program would it generate sustainable jobs? Okay, would it generate actually sustainable job, or are these initiatives primarily, you know, primarily symbolic? It could be. Or how will the government actually ensure that funds and opportunities reach those? And that's the question that we always pose, reach those who need them most, particularly in the underserved regions. So, yeah, let's hope. Much of that is hope. There's an indication, there's a plan, there's a vision. But let's see, where are the strategic plans? Where are the plans, concrete plans, for us to be able to see? Now, young people, this is your moment, to weigh in. So are you optimistic about these plans? Do you believe they address the challenges you face in your daily lives? And what additional measures would you like to see to make these initiatives more impactful, you know? So it's also up to you. Now, let's go quickly to education. We have covered that with the callers that have come through. And it stood out as one of the most transformative priorities in President Nandi Ndaitwah's address, and for good reason, all right? And for good reason, recognizing education as the foundation for national development. So the president then announced a monumental step forward. Okay. So many of you have said the same. Starting in 2026, tertiary education at all public institutions will be fully subsidized, 100% subsidized. So let's give a clap and let's give a round of applause. I think the parliament actually stood up and said, Netumbo, Netumbo, Netumbo. You know, yeah, I think this will actually mark, I would say, this would be the mark of her administration, if this really work out well. So this means no tuition fees, no registration fees. Student will be able to access higher education without the financial burden that has long excluded many talented young Namibians, especially from disadvantaged background. Yeah, so yeah, this move is undeniably historic, and it's also aligned with the global call for a universal access to education. And it is a direct response to the cries of fee must fall. And this is not only Namibia, fee must fall that have echoed not only in Namibia, but across the African continent. So fees must fall. Fees must fall. Fees must fall. Now it has fallen. All right. And she have said that. Now, by then, some of you come through by removing these financial barriers. The government aims now to unlock opportunity for students from disadvantaged background, and empowering them to pursue their dreams and contribute meaningfully to the country's development. Maybe let's have the last caller. Good morning, Colin. Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
So welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah, I want to go to contribute on the topic.
Yeah.
First of all, I must salute the previous caller.
Yeah.
He made a clear and a good point to advise our president,
yeah,
and our leader, or the parliament members.
Mm.
You know what? The main issue in Namibia is, like a previous caller says, it's not about houses.
Yeah.
We don't want a house. We are not afford. We won't afford to buy houses or to lend out the houses. But we need land.
Yeah.
So once they give us land, we are able to put our shack, or we build with our own time,
yeah,
save up and do whatever you can do. So what the very important thing, we need land, service land, and then from there we will see what we can do forward.
Yeah.
Other thing that I need to also to advise to our president. I know that we have so many political parties in parliament, and every person has they have their own idea, bring their previous idea. So what I wanted to advise here is that she should not focus on the political A, political B, political who,
yeah,
but she must focus on Namibian people. All those political parties, they are Namibian people. And the aim is to save Namibia and to build Namibia, so that at the end of the day, our young generation, they will find Namibia a country with resources, with everything that the human being needs. The atmosphere for yesterday, it makes me to feel a proud Namibia, because they were understanding one another. And I like Madam President.
Yeah.
The way they're handling questions is very professional and very, how can I say it? Yeah, it really give me a hope that we have a leader, and if this is going on like that, I think end of the day, Namibia it will be a good country, and we are going forward.
Yeah.
So it really give hope and a good spirit to our leaders.
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah. Mm.
Yes. One thing that I want to say about crime, I did not watch the whole process, but apparently they touch it. So, but they need to look on this very, 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 very intelligent, because crime in Namibia is no longer on our hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think, I don't know, maybe they need to change laws, or they need, because like, let me say, give you an example of like, loba, rape, those critical cases. I think we don't need even to have judgment going on, like prosecuting going on for year and year and year. If the person really find out that is the one that he commit this such crime.
Yeah.
So I think we must come up with a law that, so this person might just sentence like 50 years old.
I think sometimes when you have a law, sometimes it doesn't address some deep cause of crimes. Let's say, for example, mental health issues some other people are going through. I think no matter how much you regulate that, it will still go on because it's a mental issue. So we need, you know, holistically looking at how we can address that as well, of course, with also laws that really also maybe deter people from involving in this in such a crimes. Yeah, but there are other aspects as well that at play that need to be addressed as well.
I understand. Yes.
All right. The time is, we're almost coming to the end of the time. So, but thank you for coming through this morning and for your contribution.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right.
All right.
Mm.
Yeah, just quickly before we come to the end of the show on education, with all these bold initiatives, there are complexities, while intuition and registration fees will be covered, student will still need to shoulder accommodation and other related costs, such as you still have to buy textbook, you still have to buy your transport, the living expenses. So for many families, these expenses can still be prohibitive. Yeah, so raising question when it comes to the universal access to education, this can still raise a question about whether this policy fully achieves the goal of equitable access to education. So moreover, increasing access to tertiary education brings other challenges as well. So it brings other challenges as well. And challenges Namibian's public universities and vocational training centers will likely a surge, if you like, increase in enrollment. You know, that will be the case as well. So are this institution, now we have to ask whether the institution are equipped to handle the potential influx of students with the quality of education. That's another question. Will the quality of education be maintained as now the class size grow? Or will we see stretched resources and overburdened facilities? So those are questions that some of us and other people are asking. Are there also the matter of aligning education with a job market? It doesn't matter whether now you make the education free, but these people are end up actually still having no job at all. So, as the president emphasized elsewhere in her address, youth unemployment is alarmingly higher
Simply expanding access to education is not enough. So students need to graduate with the skills and knowledge demanded by Namibia's evolving economy. So this means now rethinking curriculums, expanding vocational training and fostering partnership with industries to ensure students are prepared for a real world opportunities. All right. So yeah, think about this. If you are a student, does this policy address your concern about the cost of education? And if you're a parent, you know, how will this initiative impact your family's ability to support your child's education's academic journey? And if you're an employer, are our graduate equipped with the skills needed in today's workforce? So, yep, that actually brings us to the end of our show today, our program today. So we were reflecting on the SONA. There are still actually a couple of priority that I haven't touched, but we touched them through those callers who came through. I think we have done justice to them as well. So thank you for being part of the show today and for participating and for your contributions. Let's do this again next week, Monday, on the same station here on Eagle FM. So please stay tuned for the Mind the Gap that is coming up and other programs that are coming your way throughout the day. So for me, have a great weekend. Until tomorrow on Mind Matters.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.